Big cut down day all over the National Football League. And I don't know if there were any shockers. I think shockers are the things that would have caught me a little bit off guard. I didn't expect shockers. I thought a team that performed the way this team did last year, I was expecting movement, and I was just interested in what this new management team, their vision, because they know that this is just the beginning of it. I think we said yesterday there might be 10 new guys between yesterday and opening day. It could very easily happen as they start to scan the rest of the people that were let go throughout the NFL. Anyway, you can kind of upgrade. Again, my main focus, obviously, was looking at that O-line and seeing who we kept. And the main thing is that with Coleman not being able to go full tilt, that is a concern and something that you have to monitor. It appears that he could be better back and ready for the opener, but you lose a lot of work because if you have a shoulder injury, it's not like you can go out there and go full tilt against your guys because you want it to heal. And that's where you're caught, because what do? You got to let it heal so you can go full strength when you get towards a regular season. And I think if I had one concern is that I was hoping for maybe a little bit more development from Trent Scott with this new staff, new scheme. And maybe so as they implement their program, the new game plan, maybe, just maybe, it will help him. It'll help a lot of them. Because how you run your offense can really help an O-line. You know how quickly this young man gets rid of the ball. I mean, five is like, he is quick. He does not hold on. He's a complete antithesis of the last guy we had back there who was sticky fingers. He had, glue on his palms. So that could help us out a great deal. And that's what it's all about. And we're talking about seconds, man. And the game is that. Game of seconds. Can kind of make a difference. They teased the defensive line and made it, kind of threw it out there that it might be a little bit more change than it was in that. I wonder if you were surprised how that came out.
I was surprised that KJ Henry got cut. I told you yesterday I thought he was going to be a for sure guy on the roster. I thought he had a good offseason, good camp, had that big sack in the final preseason game. I was stunned when I saw the notification from Ben Standing that he had gotten cut. I couldn't believe that one.
Yeah, I like him. He was a young man that I dug his demeanor, but I think at that position, it's the type of athlete, if you look at who they kept, Davis, Batiste, quick twitch. And that would be my, without having spoken to anybody, that would be the first thing would come to mind to me. That would be what I would think, but I'm not certain. He was a kid who played hard. He played hard, and he was. I just dug his football. I football demeanor. Some guys are just ornery by nature, and I like those kind of guys. Dexter Manley and Charles Mann and World Grand and Tony. Those guys I played, they had nasty football disposition. Great gentlemen off the field. But they had a nasty football disposition, and I like that. And that's what that young man had. And I believe he'll be in this league. I believe he'll be able to play, and he can horn his game into it. But when you're talking about coming off that edge now, I do think that quick twitch athlete, you're going to see a little bit more of that.
I just hope they keep him around in some capacity.
Farrell, Armstrong, Jean-Baptiste, and then Jamin. Jamin Davis has a shot to write a story and be one of those guys that we highlight because he's getting a chance. Now, first of all, void of ego. You got to swallow your ego. And then you got to say to yourself, this guy has what I'm saying, quick twitch. He's got it. So if between him and anybody else, he's going to get that nod. Because in this game, look at the guys that we now covet. And we say, wow, those guys all, I mean, they come, they bring it. Look at the best. And that's what makes the freaks and freak in Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Niners. They're big and quick twitch and ferocious. And that position right now, man, you know, and we definitely need it. So we got a lot of, we were expecting a lot out of Farrell and Armstrong and those two guys. One guy get nicked. We saw what happened last year. We get a guy nicked, and our production, our pressure drops off considerably. And what I think they're trying to combat that with now is just having more guys that can help you with pressure so that you don't have to send the kitchen sink, although they don't mind blitzing. I think a lot of us here in the past, our frustration was that I don't think we felt like we sent enough people after the quarterback. I don't know where you stand, DD, but I just believe that even the last preseason game, and I want to slap myself every time I make a reference to preseason, realizing that preseason is so fake in what people are going way out of their way not to show you anything, but yet we're trying to evaluate talent. So you're just caught up, the young kids. You're trying to put your best foot forward, yet we're trying to stay vanilla. And we're not trying to show a lot. But wait a minute, but we're praising people for doing well. Then we come back and say, well, you should have done it because it was really just a basic front. Well, that's all you showed him. So that's what he showed you. He showed you that he could do well against that, and that we still don't know what it's going to be when we throw everything at him. It's so confusing if you listen to it. And that's why I'm glad the GOAT is now talking, Bill Belichick, because most people will believe what he says. And when he tells you that you don't gain a heck of a lot out of any of this, relax. The tests come in September, first 3 weeks. Then I think he'll help us so we don't jump out of window sills. It does show me something. If you can say it with a straight face that you didn't gain some confidence about Drake May, had you not been confident in him, then I'll say you're a liar. There's no way. And I don't care if they were in straight and they had blindfolds on. It was still playing football. And though you can't fake those instincts, his runs, he looked comfortable. He didn't panic. And our guy, the last time he played, he looked just as good in that respect. No matter what the front is or was, how you try to make it seem like it was no big thing, if you're a rookie and you're in there, your heart is busting out of your chest cavity. It is a big thing. And I thought Drake handled himself well. I really did. He ran. He didn't look flustered. And they tried to build a guy up that eats mayonnaise down in Tennessee last year. I never bought into that. I didn't see it. I didn't see the result. Maybe you did, DD. I didn't.
Do you see it? Do you see it more with Drake May than you do?
From what I saw. Now, if they start Drake May in New England and he goes out and throws two or three picks, then I guess they were right.
Well, do you think they're going to start him, though? Or do you think it's going to be Jacoby?
I think it's going to be Jacoby if Jacoby's not injured.
My guess is just based on the way that, I mean, Jerod Mayo, who's very new here, right? He has said a lot of things. It feels like Jacoby is still going to be the starter. I mean, I think he called Drake May the second best quarterback on the roster like 2 days ago. And I was like, buddy, he just played a pretty good preseason game. So it looks like they're going to go with Jacoby. initially. But we know it's going to end up being Drake May at best, or at worst, depending on your perspective, by like week six, because there's nothing to play for there.
Okay, but based on what I just said, do you agree or disagree? I thought the kid won my favor. I don't care if we were in vanilla. I don't care if we were playing guys that worked at the grocery store. He still was under some pressure in a real game and didn't panic, reacted like an athlete, made good throws, and had great instinct.
I didn't feel differently one way or the other about him based on where I felt beforehand. I thought he looked fine, but it didn't sway me one way or another. He's still a rookie.
Okay, but did you consider him to be overrated before that?
Overrated in what sense? I thought he was worthy of being the number three overall pick. I didn't think he was going to be the starter, though, week one, and I still don't think he's going to be the starter week one.
And I can live with that. I really can, because I think that Jacoby is better than a lot of guys that are in this league and going, but he's playing a role. We know that. I think we saw that firsthand here last year. You'll never convince me that that deal was above board, but nevertheless, it's going to be interesting, and we just got to get through it. If you think the summer's tough to endure, September's better because it counts, and there's no excuses, and they'll be playing all the certain relative packages. But it has an odor, too. I mean, it's not really till middle of October before we settle into this thing and really start hitting grooves. The question is, what will our record be when we get to that? And that's why September is so important. I mean, I'm really target guy, Tampa, Tampa, Tampa. But you got to look at September. And what is your gut? And how would you even base this? How do you answer this question? DD, you're a man that plays the odds. What do you see our September? What are you putting your money at on our September record?
Well, I'm smart enough to where I don't gamble on my own team because I get heartbreak and financial losses.
Okay.
With that said,
no fantasy. You are such a disciplined lad right now. No fantasy. I don't play on my team. Boy, you are.
That's just smart gambling.
Yeah. Okay.
You're
a part-time degenerate. You're not a full-time degenerate.
No, you can be a degenerate and successful.
Okay.
Those two things can go hand in hand.
That
it's
is
just
very
difficult.
True. And you work with one every day. You're right. You're right.
But, the first couple, we know this, the first couple of weeks of the season, really the first few weeks of the season, are going to be difficult. They didn't exactly get the great end of the stick when you consider you have a rookie quarterback and a rookie left tackle. When you look at some of the defenses and guys that are coaching these defenses that they're going to be going up against. So it's not going to be an easy stretch by any sense of the imagination. But I do think there are winnable games. Like Tampa to me is a winnable game. There's some other games that are going to be tough to pull out the rabbit out of the hat. But Tampa's a winnable game. We just still haven't seen anything yet. Because we know that like what they were doing on defense particularly, because defense is the biggest question mark for me on this team. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty confident about what I think Jaden Daniels is going to be. And I haven't really wavered off of that. But defense, we didn't get to see any of the big guns on the defense play. We saw no Allen, no Payne, no Bobby Wagner. Those are the three arguably most intriguing and important guys on the defense. We saw none of them. So I'm thinking that there's going to be some differences to what their scheme is looking like come week one than the base stuff that we saw through 3 weeks of the preseason and some of the joint practices.
Yeah, I'd give you that. But if I could have gone without seeing those three guys, I could have gone without seeing, and I would have had no problem with that.
No, it's perfectly fine that we didn't see them.
Yeah,
Something that needs to be taken into consideration when we're trying to picture, like, what is this defense actually going to look like? I feel like with those three guys in it, you can get way more creative because you're placing a lot of the responsibility on those three. And I feel comfortable with those three in particular having a lot of responsibility. Like last year, it felt like you were divvying up responsibility to guys that were not, their shoulders weren't big enough to carry the load. Guys like Jamin to an extent when he had the green dot. Guys like Forbes on the outside, like they weren't ready for those positions where now you have a guy like Bobby Wagner and guys like Allen and Payne that are ready to do some creative dynamic things and carry the weight of leading a defense.
Yeah, well, you can't blame the kids. You blame the people in charge. Where, you know, I mean, that was just, incompetence double down. And that's why they earned their ranking. They weren't given, they earned it. No, I think we will be much better off in that respect. My question over the summer will be, because allegedly you have cap space and there was no aggressive pursuit of a corner, even one that played for you last year in Dallas, who seemed like he was available. And it appeared off the surface that the money wasn't out of reach. So that would be the one question I would have. If I were at the press conference, that might have been a question asked.
Well, if only they had a defensive back that both of the head coach and defensive coordinator had coached before, who at one point not that long ago was defensive player of the year that now resides in Minnesota. If only he was just kind of wandering around there in the wilderness for the first couple of weeks of the preseason and the entire offseason.
So you think like I think. So didn't that kind of make you go, I wonder what happened? He must have urinated on somebody's toes, because I haven't heard that be a statement yet. I haven't even heard it been asked yet. I might have missed that press conference.
If you missed it, I missed it too, because I have heard nothing of the sort, and that has been my biggest question mark.
Yeah, you got a glaring issue apparently, and it was not killer cash. And nothing. Okay. So that would tell me that you're good. You've got a plan, and I trust you, so I'm going to let you play it out. That's exactly what I would think. But I'm glad you and I hit the same page on that one. That's good. That is good. Is there another area on the team? How about your boy Kaz?
I think he was the last cut.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure, but I feel like he was the last cut because nobody said that he got cut until we got the final 53, which leads me to believe that nobody knew until the very end. I'll tell you what, man, I look at those wide receivers. Eesh, not a great group. You got Terry, love Terry. Optimistic about Diami. Optimistic about OZ and Luke McCaffrey, but not a lot of proven success outside of 17 on the wide receiver group. I'm hoping they address that position in some way, shape, or form over the next couple days on the waiver wire, because it needs some help. It desperately needs some help. If you're just keeping Byron Pringle and Jameson Crowder because, well, they're the best returners, that's great, but you're also going to need somebody to play offense. And not that those two guys can't play offense, but there have to be better options at this point who are younger, healthier guys, taller guys. I mean, really, the height is kind of what bothers me, but like there needs to be other options somewhere around the NFL to say, all right, we can plug this guy in. Because right now you have two wide receivers on this roster that are listed at 5'8 and 5'9 in OZ and Jameson Crowder. That's too short in the NFL. You can't have one guy, but you can't have two.
I played with the Smurfs. We won championship with the Smurfs. So I don't... That size thing, I hear it. I hear everybody talking about it. I go, okay, prove it. Because is it the size or the player? I mean, I've seen a whole bunch of tall people not do very much. So I hear people saying this. I go, okay. Tyreek don't seem that tall to me. Maybe I'm just missing it.
Yeah, but he has a speed that those two guys don't have.
Well, okay. But again, everybody keeps talking about size and tall. I go, NFL, I'm going, all right. You might be right. I'm just saying, there's a whole bunch of receivers.
Well, you can offset the lack of the height if you are elite at one thing. Like Tyreek is an elite runner. There's not a lot of people in the world that can run the way that he can. And with guys like Jameson, Jameson's a good wide receiver, but he's also played 10 years in the NFL. Like what kind of contributing are you going to expect him to do on offense? If he's a good punt returner, that's great. But what kind of contributing are you going to expect from him on the offensive side? And if the answer is minimal, then you have to go out there and find somebody who's going to be around that can contribute.
I get it. Diami Brown, I think he was, when we started camp, he was a question mark. I think he said, how you like me now? I think he competed. Stepped up his game.
I will say he plays bigger than his height.
Exactly.
If we're just talking about the height, like he looks and plays bigger than 6 feet tall.
Yeah, because the reason why I try not to be hung up on dimensions is because I keep hearing about size, and I see nobody better than Aaron Donald. And he was not a stature monster. But I never saw nobody better than him. And so I see a whole bunch of big people that are just average. And so I started saying, you know what? I'm going to just judge all my people by results and throw all that other crap out. How tall, how long. Now, what are your results? And so until somebody gives me more results than Aaron Donald, I'm going to just judge you by, do you get the job done? And if you happen to be 6'2 or 5'9, I'm taking you. Let's go. Because I just remember the Smurf. I remember Gary Clark. We had one guy with size, Art. Everybody else was, quote, undersized. But if you give the quarterback enough time and you got a stud throwing, they'll get open and make plays. And I look at the Chiefs. There's one guy. The tight end's the guy. It'd be different if we had like 6'5", 6'4 receivers with the best team in the league doing it. I don't really see that. Even in Buffalo. My boy Terp wasn't not a giant. But again, I'm here available to be proven wrong. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And, you know, you play the odds as well as anybody in the country. So you may win this. And I hope you do. But I want to see, like Kansas City, they went back to something that they are comfortable with. And Juju Smith-Schuster, this dude is a survivor. Where do you rank him? How do you rank him?
I don't get far enough down in the rankings to rank Juju Smith.
Yeah, he's not bigger, stronger, faster, but you know what he does? He's always there. He's like a roach. You can't kill him. He's always there. We got good points. That's what's the beauty, man, of this. We shall see what happens. I think that Emmanuel Forbes, I cannot wait to see how he fits in, how they game plan him, and what kind of production we get out of him. Because, you know, SEC, we hear all this SEC. Okay, well then prove it. Are we going to see that in September? I'm asking Denton Day right now. I keep hearing so much about the SEC covering and what you go up against, the gauntlet or whatever like that. And they beat him up like a punching bag. So what are we going to see? Is the SEC going to reveal some success when it comes to this young man playing corner, who for all practical purposes seemed lost far more than found?
If we're talking Forbes, I hope the answer is yes. Your guess is as good as mine. I'm not putting my eggs in that basket until I see some inkling of success.
Okay. Now, what I like about the brother is that, and most good corners are like this, man, you can't sway his confidence. I'm going to believe in him because he continues to believe in himself. And I've not met a corner yet that doesn't live by that. That's why I love them. They my favorite position, favorite people. Because they realize that sometimes they're going to be left out there on that island. And they either built for it or not. No excuses. You give them a little bit more pressure, you might get a little bit better results. But they don't count on it. They got to know it's just him and the dude they're dealing with. And so that's the fun thing about it. But hopefully our scheme, we'll be better at scheming. I got a feeling we're going to be better at damn near everything, which brings me some thrill. Were you surprised to see Mathis and Ridgeway?
Yeah, but only because they said they tried to trade Ridgeway.
Right.
Which I found it a little odd that they tried to trade him and then nobody traded for him. They're like, I guess we'll just keep him.
They were speaking to somebody. That was a little cat and mouse game between somebody. And it didn't bite. I thought both guys, I like them both. They're both very competitive. But I will say the fact that Newton, who does not appear to be ready to go, I think that was the factor. And that they're going to be playing, they're going to be short at that spot for a minute. That's how I saw it. But we also may have given up somebody that they thought. And then again, the practice squad. You know, yesterday was just the tip of the iceberg. I find today and tomorrow equally is interesting as to see, you know, what happens. Who returned these squads. The way they've changed these things now, I think they've done it for the better. I do think that they've done that. So, you feel like putting some trends on things that we're doing? I think you've got some big things today. It's Den Day.